to Hammered in Helios, a 5th edition spirited Dungeons & Dragons homebrew campaign. During each session, our cast not only tries to survive the cruel Dungeon Master's plans, but also reviews a delicious bottle of liquor. Remember, whether you're adventuring through a fantasy world or just listening to ours, please drink responsibly. Hi, I'm Owen Landsberg, your malicious but lovingly tender Dungeon Master of Hammered in Helios, and this week we are going to be reviewing one of my absolutely favorite liqueurs, Chartreuse. Now, Chartreuse is a very secretive blend of a liqueur, so it's made by these monks in the Carthirian Mountains, I believe, and out of all the monks, there's only three of them that actually know the actual recipe for this. Really? And yeah, there's only three that know it, and they actually have a vow of silence, so they're not even allowed to talk about it. What? And it's a blend of 103 different herbs, seeds, and spices. So it's got this like sweet yet spicy, herbaceous yet refreshing taste to it. And we're going to be doing the green chartreuse because it's absolutely delicious. And the reason why I chose this is I've been working in the service industry for quite a long time. And people always talk about how Fernet is the bartender's handshake. And in my opinion, I say, fuck that. Chartreuse is the true one because as you're going to hear from my players, not all of them are going to like this, but I absolutely fucking love it. And it's my birthday, so I get to choose what we are drinking. So with that, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take a sip, and I'm going to give it a ranking. Delicious. Nat 20.
Nat 20.
Really? Chartreuse.
You give this a nat 20. Trying to show off because all those industry people are going to listen to this. They're going to care about that.
Yep, 100%. No, actually, this is like one of my favorite ways to end the night. Like when I come home after a long day of work, I'll pour myself a little chartreuse or make myself like a final word or last word. Just something absolutely delicious.
I'm Dean Rains. Hi, I play Oren Can Fix It, your gnome battlesmith artificer. That's way better than I thought it would be. Outside of the initial taste that touched my lips, that felt like poison. once it got into my mouth hole, it was much more enjoyable. That was actually fairly smooth. And so the wild thing is, like, I've never worked in the service industry, but I know a lot of people who have, and I've heard a lot of people mention Fernets. And I mean, I've tried it, and I've been subject to it. It's not my favorite, but I kind of get it, I guess. I would definitely prefer chartreuse over Fernets.
Hell yeah, there's one more for me, baby.
So if I had to rate it, let's go 16.
Wow, a 16. Oh,
nice. I enjoyed that, actually, a lot.
That's
more.
Higher than last week.
Well, last week was, I was lying.
By so. One point. Were you lying last week?
Oh, yeah, it was awful.
You really didn't like this guy?
No, it was terrible.
Well, then give us the actual rating for it.
Last week, 1.
Really?
Yes, it was. Once again, it was so bad.
You're giving this a 16 and last week was a 1?
Well, I also drink sugar and water as a combination together. So.
Wait, are you an insect?
I need sugar and water.
Sugar. More sugar.
My name is Brando. I play Victor Number Hall the 4th. And I hate this garbage. It's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. And I ate bugs when I was a kid. So I'm not a big fan. I love the story, though. I didn't know any of that until you just said it. And I am thoroughly in love with that story. And I'm a sucker for like good lore behind something. And quite honestly, this might sound weird, but that actually increased my enjoyment of it. Kind of knowing the idea behind it. But on its own as a flavor, this is not for me. It's almost like a little bit of a licorice kind of flavor.
Yeah, definitely. There's a little licorice in there.
And I guess I have a very high, sensitivity to that. I'm not a fan. So I would give this I'm going to give this like a D5, man.
Of just a straight 5?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not a fan.
Hey, I'm Mike Williams and I play Anessin Berylthian.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Berylthian.
What'd you think it was? Barothian?
I did. I thought Barothian. It was Barothian.
No, Helen, wait. What do you think? Say the Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain.
It's the Berylthian Bears.
It's Berylthian Bears.
Berylthian Bears.
It's Berylthian.
Berylthian.
Wingardium Berylthian.
And if you subscribe to our Patreon, you can get the Baryothian Bears backstory.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Got some children's book.
It's actually three monks who took a vow of silence.
Bearkin monks. Mike, what do you think of chartreuse?
Yeah. Well, also, wood elf. Invocation wizard.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing that.
Your fucking background right now?
We don't care about that.
But yeah, so I definitely will say, like, when the first taste was, like, not good. Like, I was ready to give this, like, single digits, maybe even, like, a 3. But that second taste that I had, like, all of a sudden everything just kind of opened up. And this is amazing. Like, it's got that sweet side, but it also has very spiced. And it is excellent. And we're going 18.
18.
Wow. My name is Garrett Carty, and I play Iknath Redjaw, the orc monster slayer, and a ranger as well, I guess. I definitely say I don't think I've had straight chartreuse in a long time. The more this kind of opens up, I enjoy it, but I think I'd enjoy playing around with this as in a cocktail or using it in some sort of mixed drink, as opposed to just drinking it straight. But I will give this a 15.
Well, with that, the final reckoning of chartreuse, aka the final number, is 74. It's a total out of 100 that we gave chartreuse, and I am ashamed of all of you. Before we begin this week's adventure, I need to give a special shout out to BattleBards.com. BattleBards specializes in creating the coolest and best sound effects and ambient music on the market for your tabletop experience. They have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of files ready to go at your fingertips for you to use as either a dungeon master or even as a player. And they have so graciously donated some of their library to Hammered in Helios. So from now on, whenever you hear a Nessun cast a spell, or Iknath shoot his bow, or any of the other cool sound effects you'll be hearing, you'll know it's from BattleBards.com. Questions. For every answer, there's always more questions. Draven, the High Chain of Seraph, gave our heroes an answer they desperately needed. The question was, why was everyone after Devana? The answer, she is the most God-touched person in all of Helios. With this information, they now must head to Cork to take down House Tain. The 24th day of Palom. You awaken to the sound of Beachfang singing a sea shanty. The ocean waves seem to be accompanying him in song. The fresh, salty air stings your nostrils. Cork is 2 days out, and now it's time to figure out how you're going to take down House Tame and keep Devana safe. Ended last session with you guys sailing off, and it was nighttime. So we're just going to start where it's the next morning after. Now you guys have 2 days before you get to the port of Cork.
What kind of numbers are we dealing with slave-wise?
That's a good question. So he has roughly 40 to 50 slaves that he's delivering to House Tain. But you guys, remember, you guys made it so he is, they're, you're not treating them as slaves, so they didn't get put in cages or anything. So
right.
You guys are feeding them well and treating them well, and they have open space.
Yeah, the plan was to let them walk freely around the ship until we were about to go to Cork and then back to chains, at least until, you know, for optics' sake. But I didn't know we had 50 of them. That changes things a lot. So this, we look like a refugee camp on this boat right now. Yeah. 50 people just wandering around.
And honestly, with Thatch's crew, you guys, and now these 50 slaves, the boat is pretty packed. It's not like you can find some silence if you go to certain places, but most of the time there's going to be people around you.
What are these, the people, like, are they the animal people?
Majority of them are anthropomorphic animals. So you can see like Luxodons, you can see Lionels, which are lions, Bearkin, koalas, koala bearkins, Tuskens, which are walrus people.
And they live on the same continent as Cork. And they are who House Tain trades in.
Cork is on Aelios, which is the southeast continent. And Omast is where the beast people live.
Okay.
Xanthromorph people, they've like created their own sanctuary called Omast. But Cork mainly like kidnaps.
Captures.
And then trades them as slaves in Cork. So that's like the big thing. And House Tain runs Cork vicariously.
So you're telling me you had the opportunity to name the animal nation Zootopia and you completely passed on that.
Victorin is on the deck looking out at the sea. I'm enjoying kind of the life of a seafarer. I don't get to do this in my life of luxury that I come from. So now I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be a seaman on a ship. Not exactly exciting, but here's where I am.
Anesin, what are you doing?
I would imagine our quarters are still pretty private, right? Like,
yeah, the four of you have your own room.
Anesin is definitely dealing with this, the container with his energy and the hag's energy.
Yes.
Based on the runes in that room and things like that, I think he's really trying to focus on trying to nail down what was happening still. Like, it's one of those things, like when it was in his head, it's like until he understands it, there's no giving up on this, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the story's gone on. We've done other things, but it's like every moment he's trying to master this, what was going on.
Anesin, give me your Arcana check.
That's a 15.
With Arcana 15, you notice that you're not sure how yet, but the hag was basically siphoning not just like living essence out of people, but also their like magic capabilities. Not every single person in Helios can cast magic, but everyone has like a little bit of it in them. So no matter what class they are or race they are, everyone at least has like the innate ability to cast magic. Just some people tap into it or get trained in it, like yourself.
This is like Mako, right? Like the world is
No, it's more like midichlorians.
Yeah, unfortunately.
There's the thread and you can catch the weave.
Yeah.
Never seen a midichlorian count this high.
I fucking hate midichlorians.
Well, it's canon.
Yeah.
It's canon.
I wish it was.
It's canon, baby.
That's going in the graphic novel.
It's not headcanon for me. Sorry.
It is in Helios.
Nope. No.
So I walk in and I say, what's the midichlorian count of that box? I don't do that. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
And then, but you're not sure how, but the hag was somehow then harnessing it for herself to then make herself even more powerful.
What about trying to understand the essence of what is in there? Like, you know, is that the hag's, is that her power in there? And he's putting part of his essence and all of it's been drawn into it? Or
your best guess is, because you saw that she was drawing out the life and magic essence, the crew that survived and the rest of her covens, you can see that she was drawing it out. So it wasn't hers herself, but your best guess, it was transforming her powers to be like a semblance of all the powers that was being siphoned into that vial.
Just drink it. He doesn't want to drink it, but he definitely wants to. I think he's relating expending his arcane power into that canister or whatever as the issue with his decaying. So he wants to draw
via drinking.
give me another drawing. Arcana check with advantage.
Arcane chugging.
Just lick the bottle and see what happens.
Ooh. 18.
It's a good thing that it was advantage.
So that cavern had a lot of runes and things on the walls. I would imagine that the room is just messy. There's parchment with drawings and different things all over it. Just from a actual game point standpoint, like, he doesn't know like protection from good and evil, but I think he understands it and everything that he knows about it. Like, he's just trying to protect himself. And he's basically kind of created almost, I wouldn't say a seance, but some type of ritual in order to draw, you know, to attempt to draw magic and try to recreate, I guess, what was happening. Like, everyone's things were being siphoned out of people into this, this vase or whatever. And so he's trying to recreate that to an extent. to his best ability, to the best of his ability, based on what he was able to learn and what he's learned since.
And we're on the outside, like knocking on the door, like, Anesson, what are you doing in there?
I don't think you're old enough to be doing that yet. You set that all up. And then you feel a click with the canister, whatever that essence is that is in there, and you feel like you can draw it out. So I'm going to ask, how much of the vial or canister are you going to draw out? Give me a percentage.
I think just to test it out, we're going to go like a quarter of it. Just to
a quarter
see.
Of it?
He wants to know what, if what he thinks, you know, he thinks that he's going to draw his power out and restore like his hand, like back to like being healthy again.
You draw. So all of a sudden, you said a quarter of it. So you click with it, you like engage with it, and 25% of the canister, that mist comes out of it and just starts to float above the canister and all around you. It then starts to seep into your skin from all points, like you're breathing it in almost, but through all your skin instead of just your mouth. And as this does it, your hand, the decrepit part of your hand, goes from just your hand all the way up to part of your arm to like your shoulder, and now half your hair turns white. But you now permanently know the spells Lightning Bolt, Water Breathing, and Water Walking.
Shit. 25% dead on that?
Yep.
He just got his mini. It's red hair, Owen.
Yeah.
He's got red hair.
I feel like part of my arcane essence is still in there.
Mm-hmm.
What about, do I feel about how much versus what I drew? Like, is it much stronger or is it about the same?
It's about the same. Hmm. You now know that your essence is almost perfectly mixed with the hag's essence and all the other hag's essences.
That's what's left.
Mm-hmm. You can attempt to pour the essence back into the canister.
Is there any way I can like try to target what I feel attached, like my essence that I'm attached to?
Yes, but you already rolled the arcana for that, so you're going to have to at least wait a day in order to do okay. that again.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
I think he's kind of like maybe needs to do some more studying and research before he continues on.
Okay.
But he's going to continue to hide, you know, his hands and stuff inside his robe.
Okay, what about his hair? What about Anesson's hair?
Wait, his hair changed?
Yeah, half of his hair went white.
Oh, never mind. Psst,
psst. Talk to your boy Oren, dude. I can change it for you.
But like I said, if you wanted to, you can attempt to pour the essence you took back into the canister. You can do that.
I mean, I guess for research sake, I'll try that.
Give me a wisdom saving throw.
So wait, is this, like you said, he can pour this essence back into the canister?
From his body?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he can like interchange this, like in the moment of battle, he's like, oh, I'm doing it, and he chugs the whole thing. And then at the very end, he's like, all right, I'm done, and he... back into the canister?
You'll have to wait and see that depending on this roll. Wisdom saving throw.
So cool.
That's a 13.
You attempt to click with this essence inside the canister, and you hear Demdike's voice in the back of your head say, no, and stops you from...
Oh, so she resisted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What did you do?
Yes. However, at the same time, I don't look the same, and I have, you know, I got places to be and people to see. It's just unfortunate that you would also have to alter my appearance, which I don't mind. I'm not vain. I don't necessarily care about those things. However, you know, I have crewmates. They're going to ask questions. It's just going to be boring. We have to talk about it. Blah blah blah. So what's up with that?
Should have thought about that before letting me in.
Oh, it definitely wasn't my plan. I was just, you know, arcana, learning, knowledge. It's just kind of my thing.
There's always sacrifices that come with knowledge. Ah, yes.
Things blow up and things like that. Your hand turns decrepit. Yep, yeah, I get it.
Yes. My seat.
How do we make this work together?
What makes you think I'd like this to work together?
What existence do you have at this point? You're nothing without me.
But I can make you far more powerful than you could ever imagine.
Yes, and that's very convenient.
Consume it all. Wisdom save.
13.
You feel tempted to connect with the essence and bring it all in. So you actually start to reach out and start to connect with it. But at the last second, your mind comes back to you, to your own, and you stop yourself from doing it.
Trying to mind control me, eh? Well,
we all have our tricks.
Just play it straight, all right? We can work together. I can help you. You can help me. We can use our powers, and once and for all, we can finally come up with a way to battle Imrius.
Persuasion check.
3.
No. And as she says no, it like screams and echoes in your ears. And you take 7 points of psychic damage. And you feel as if communication has been shut off. Decrepit all the way up the arm, and half your hair is white.
You mean like the shining old lady in the bathtub, decrepit?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually just watched Ready Player One
a couple days ago. What?
On my flight home from Boise. Yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot how good that movie is.
It was a fun movie, man.
Yeah.
People were hating on that. It was fun.
No, it was a good one.
You guys want to review Ready Player One?
Do you just want this to be a movie review podcast?
I like watching movies.
Yeah. Like I said, we get enough Patreon people. Once we launch Patreon, we'll start doing some other podcasts.
That's our branch off right there.
We'll do some movie reviews.
Spin-off podcast. Yeah.
We'll get like Victorian's a mystery science reviews. Theater, but instead of just randomness, we just get drunk and talk about the movie.
Hammered at Owen's house. Let's watch a movie. It's just
hammered at Hallmark.
Ignath, what are you doing?
I would like to talk to the party about how we will be entering Cork as somebody who'd like to be prepared, but I think we'll let that sit until we're all in a place to talk to each other. Otherwise, I would enjoy fencing. I think with the other swashbucklers.
Gotcha. Okay.
To test kind of their might.
You see two. It is a female wood elf named Mira, and you have a human male named Ruben that look to be the most apt at fencing, which I figured you'd probably want to go in against the strongest two.
Yes.
So you walk up to Mira and Ruben, Ignath, and you see they're in a heated battle. They're both stepping towards each other, making some slights, making advances, parries, dodges, what you will.
And Victorin is in the background.
Putting money down on them?
I am. Yeah.
A dwarf that is right up there with betting with you, and his name is Merrick. I bet you 20 gold on Mira.
20 gold that she'll win or lose?
That she'll win.
You know, I'll take that bet. My man, Ruben. Huzzah! Come on, Ruben.
They're pretty evenly stacked. So I'm going to let you call this. Odds are even. If you're right, Ruben wins. If you're wrong, Mira wins.
All right. Odd.
Ruben wins.
Oh, ha, ha! Ruben, champion of the day.
So you see them, they're intertwining swords and whatnot. And Mira oversteps just a little bit, and they're using practice foils. Ruben steps in and is able to get a strike right into her heart. Then Mira is sad, kicks some of dust on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's going to be dust. Beach Fang wouldn't allow dust on a ship. But she like kicks
just a bunch
like
of leaves.
Yeah, she just kicks some leaves off into the ocean and storms off, and Ruben is left.
Ruben, my man, excellent fencing.
Oh, we haven't been formally introduced, I believe.
I'm Victorin Amberhall IV.
My name is Ruben Needledart.
Ruben, yes. I said my name is Victorin Amberhall IV.
I heard you the first time.
Oh, you don't recognize me either? This is so wonderful. None of you here do. You live such simple lives that you've never heard of the great Amber Halls. How refreshing this is.
Is like your thing where you inadvertently insult everybody you talk to?
Oh,
Reuben, no, my good man. The last thing I would want to do is insult you, the champion of the day. Excellent job.
Well, I do believe you won 20 gold off me, so I think 5 of that is worth my time.
How can I argue with that? Of course. And I slap 5 gold in his hand real heartily, and I'm patting him on the shoulder at the same time.
Victorin, you might just be all right.
who will be next to fight my champion Reuben here? Who will take the challenge?
Ignath smirks at this interaction and walks up, says, I'd wager you for a fight, Reuben.
Ignath, it would be my absolute pleasure. And he has the world's biggest shit-eating grin on his face.
I'll pay you 25 gold to fight Victorin here. See if he's worth his weight.
Oh, you meant Reuben is his name. You meant Reuben.
I'd do that for free.
I'll wager 25 on you.
Merrick walks up and 25. I'll do 25.
25 on what?
We'll see how strong you are, Victorin. See if you're worth your salt here on the ship.
Merrick bets 25 gold on you. And Ignath, you're betting 25 gold on Reuben?
Yes.
We're going to roll to make this nice, quick, and easy. Right. What we're going to do is we're going to roll five times. And it's going to be with your attack modifier. And we're going to roll against each other. Whoever gets to 3 successes first wins the bout. He hands you a practice foil. It's just going to be proficiency plus dexterity modifier because it's not a magical weapon.
I have my top hat and I take it off and I bow to him and I put it back on. And then I stretch my arms and I'm getting limber here. And I take the foil and I get into position.
All right. As you're doing that, he just kind of sits there and he like gets up against the rail, kind of like tapping his foot. He's like, man, got to always be ready. Always be ready.
And I hand my pipe to a random crewmate.
I'm going to roll really quick. Okay, cool. Let's go ahead and start the scene here. So you guys take your positions and he is going to lunge at you right away. So go ahead and give me a roll.
18.
Just like last week, the first roll was a nat 20.
You're kidding me.
Oh, so great.
He steps quickly forward and I'm going to, and as you go to parry, he feints and actually comes around to the other side and he taps you twice on the shoulder. So I'm going to, with a nat 20, I'm going to give him 2 successes. He only needs 1 more success to win.
Ho, ho, ho. Excellent work there. Your footwork is amazing.
I wish I could say the same about you.
Oh, a little jabbing there. Oh, the words that they use to attack each other with. This is what they do. The insults, the common man.
Once again, you inadvertently make fun of everybody you talk to. And he gets back into stance.
All right. And I do as well.
All right. Here we go.
20.
23.
Oh, man.
He rolled a 17.
You're killing me here. You're killing me.
He slides in once again, and he goes for the exact same move. But you, thinking you're wise, are onto him. So when he goes to feint, you go to block where his attack was, and he fakes the feint and basically then goes right where he was supposed to go to and gets you straight in the chest. And with that, that's 3 successes. He turns, looks over at Merrick, walks straight up to Merrick, and then puts his hand out. Merrick goes, fumbles around, gives him 25 gold, and Reuben just walks off. And as he walks off, he kind of just like does that like side angle as he walks away, so you just see half his face. Victorin, he goes, better luck next time.
And Victorin's a good sport about it. He flourishes his hat and he bows to him. Excellent job. Next time we will finish what we have started.
Ignath, what do you want to do?
I mean, with that, I have a good orcish chuckle.
Give us your best orcish chuckle.
And I'll pat Victorin on the back as I walk to the back of the deck and say, welcome to the crew.
He was a good fighter. He caught me off guard. These commoners, they never cease to amaze me. They surprise you at every move. Here you think they are living in dirt and eating bugs, but no, they are much smarter than you would give them credit for. Much more cunning. And skilled. edit this together.
Small pauses.
Victorin, give me a perception check.
That is 11.
In all the haste of trying to prove your worth in metal against Reuben and Merrick and Ignath, when you handed your pipe to one of the crewmates, you never noticed who it was. And now you don't know who has your pipe.
And I look around to see the crewman who mm-hmm. has my pipe, and I don't see it coming. So I reach into my sleeve and I pull out another pipe. And I begin.
It's just sleeves of endless pipes. Is that a magic item you required?
Sleeves of endless pipes. Pipes, yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
I put my essence in the pipe and my lungs feel decrepit.
Oh, God. okay, let's see here. Orin, what are you doing right now?
Orin would be probably talking with Thatch.
Okay.
Trying to come up with our plan to successfully infiltrate Cork and House Tain. I go up to the top.
Yep.
I go to Thatch.
Yep. You see him, and he is, even though it's early in the morning, already is double fisting two pints of rum.
Starting early, are we?
Ah, Orin, you know, when a captain really doesn't have much captaining to do, you just drink.
I would venture to say there are plenty of other hobbies you could look into. I'd be glad to show you something around my tinkering shop, you know, maybe. But hey, to each their own.
I don't think there's anything more enjoyable than life than drinking, than maybe having a wench by your side with a cup of mead.
Hey, if it makes you happy.
I'm not really that sad, though.
Well, no, you don't seem it. You're double fisting. If you're double fisting and still sad, oh,
where are my manners? And he goes to hand you one.
I will gladly take that.
Ah, Orin. So, what can I do for you?
We're about 2 days out from Cork, it seems. You know, we've got a big job ahead of us. I feel like, you know, given it was a bit of an extension on your part, an olive branch, if you will, to let these slaves kind of roam free around the ship. And I'm thankful again that you were willing to meet us halfway. But
it is a Nessun's ship.
Well, I mean, we all found it, you know. I mean, that is. Right, Beach Fang?
No, it's a Nessun ship.
Okay, so we all found it, as you heard him clearly say. The waves were, it was probably hard to hear him over all the waves, and the seagulls. But with Cork soon to be on the horizon, the game plan should come into play. How are we going to successfully infiltrate? I've got an idea here. You know, hey, they're expecting you. They're expecting slaves. They're not expecting us. What about a little hired muscle to help protect the shipment?
You see him like kind of ponder for a second. That was him.
I like that idea. I think it's actually pretty good.
Is there anything in particular that we should maybe be alert, be on the lookout for? Anything, any pertinent information that we don't already have that could blow the whole operation?
Well, I mean, unless someone House Tain knows one of you for and spots you, I would think you're pretty okay.
Well, with we're all wanted men in Seraph, what are the chances that that information has kind of beat us here?
I mean, cities are pretty autonomous. They're city-states here in Helios. So if you're wanted in Seraph, there's a pretty good chance you won't be wanted in Cork. But that is not to say bounty hunters couldn't come down and find you guys.
Should we look into some kind of disguises, perhaps?
I mean, you all snuck on board with potions of disguise self.
And they've since expired.
You didn't buy backups.
I mean, I've got all kinds of potions here. I've got potions for healing, potions for breathing water.
And that's the end of my potions.
So not that many types of potions.
Well, two, you know, and I mean, you know, a lot to one person isn't very many to another, and, you know.
Well, I think we need to talk to the rest of your friends to confirm this plan, but I do like it. You turn, look, you see Victorin lose a duel against Reuben, and Ignath turning around and starts walking up towards you guys.
I start puffing on my pipe just casually, and once I see like people congregating, I walk over as well.
And Anessin.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I'm walking up from them.
All right. So you all look as Anessin is climbing the stairs up to the perch that the three of you plus Thatch are at, and you can see that half his hair, so like let's say like the left side of his hair has all gone, like if he parts it down the middle, let's say, well, the left side has gone completely gray.
Middle part, skinny jeans.
Yep.
What generation are you a part of?
Ah, a little seasick, are we, Anessin?
Oh, very seasick, exactly, Orin. You're just, do you have a keen eye?
I want to look at the hag hair on my right shoulder,
mm-hmm.
or the scalp, I guess, of the hag.
Yep.
And I'll look at Anessin's hair and just be like,
Looks exactly the same.
And Victorin is puffing his pipe, and I am definitely eyeballing Anessin, and I'm kind of squinting my eyes in a very suspicious manner, but I don't say anything.
Well, Thatch says, Orin actually has a pretty good idea on how to get you all into Cork.
I tell them the idea.
We do that.
Yeah, we do that. I don't want to say the whole thing all over again.
Well, no, now you guys are finally all RP together.
Like, well, we can RP together. I told you guys the plan. We're going to sneak in as guards of the shipment, but we should probably keep in mind that we are wanted men.
Just like if we were hunting in the wilderness, do we have any cloaks or things that would make us camouflaged, as you would say, in the city?
I can't help but think that potentially being disguised as slaves as part of the shipment.
Well, it looks like Anessin, you've already started in costume. Okay, no. All right, this guy's ahead. This guy's really an overachiever.
Thanks, Orin. Yes.
Yeah. Genius. Can you do, you have some kind of magic. Could you make half of my hair? I'm missing a lot of that hair.
Oh, yes. I have an experiment going on in my room right now that may change you as well.
You could use this, and I could take the scalp and I could set it on Oren's head.
Well, look at there.
it looks natural.
Like Ignath has already provided you a costume.
I can't even tell.
Full head of hair. The ladies of Cork won't know what hit them. What if? Hear me out. We arm the slaves. Hear me out. We cause a revolt. Hear me out. We overthrow House Tain. Hear me out. I become the head of House Tain. It's not consensual.
It's so cute. House can fix it.
I didn't. No. I didn't plan for you ever leading House Tain. I would not like to give up our weapons if we were to be approaching this stronghold, but perhaps if we were to lead forward with that plan, sneaking in as slaves, if there was a way that you would be able to get us our gear once we were inside, perhaps smuggled through some way you may know.
Perhaps I could smuggle them in ahead of us if we were to appear as slaves to infiltrate without his Lyric's accompanying bodyguards. And perhaps I can sneak in our weapons once we are infiltrated, and then an attack can begin.
All solid ideas. Just which one are you guys going to go for?
As much as I would like to trust you, Victorin, to hand you all of our weapons and armors before we were to go in to meet this Tain, I just could not see it. We yet to see you in battle, yet to see you in a situation where we could give you our graces. It seems that we'd be walking into a trap by handing you those things.
I also would not go along with that plan. Thatch, maybe? You have a plan of getting us our weapons?
Do you know of any back routes or ways to smuggle? I'm sure you've dealt with your own ways to get things into their camps. Perhaps you know someone on the inside.
I do have my own contacts with Inside House Tain, a spy, if you will. And I might be able to pay him or her or it in order to get you your weapons and armor. But you'd have to probably go a day or two without having your weapons and armor as slaves inside House Tain. And do remember, they primarily deal with anthropomorphic animals as slaves. Not many are humanoids. Not to say that you won't get in, but you have to prove your worth in order for him to actually buy you.
Infiltrating with the slaves may not be the best course of action, whereas as far-fetched as Oren's idea is, we know these slaves and I'm sure could trust them to arm them once we were to break in.
Well, my idea does come at a high cost of life on our end as well, I'm sure. And sure, telling these slaves to fight for their freedom is probably a wonderful cause that a lot of them would rally behind. How talented they are with a blade versus a trained bodyguard group of assassins, I don't know what our odds would actually be.
It's up to the slaves to fight for their freedom, to earn their way in this world.
Somehow I knew Ignath would totally be on board with that plan.
Do I understand correctly that House Tain is also after this Divana woman, correct?
So it would seem.
Correct. They ambushed us multiple times to try and take her.
So what if we were able to bring them Divana? We were to walk in and say, here she is. Would we not be welcomed? As heroes of House Tain, would they not bring us into their palace and perhaps give us an opportunity to strike from within?
She's already halfway around the world. I don't see how we could bring her here.
House Tain is one of the most powerful houses in all of Helios. So to walk you in would be walking you into the lion's den. And I have seen you all in combat, yes, and you are formidable people, but I don't know if you could take on a house.
For a lion is nothing to a dragon, Thatch.
It wouldn't have to devolve into combat. No one's to say that anyone would. If they don't recognize us, we could treat this initial turning of the slave or delivering of the shipment into just gathering intel. This doesn't have to be the firework display right off the bat.
Well, if we go that route, Victorn, perhaps maybe during that time you are scouting or some other thing. Because if we show up with four bodyguards and then we come back with three, they might seem a little fishy.
Yes. Yes, that's an excellent idea. I can scout around on my own to get the lay of the land.
Everybody, give me a perception check.
Natural 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit. All right, Ignath?
17.
17?
19.
I have 19 also.
As you guys are talking about this plan and all its different possibilities, all four of you look off the port. Off in the distance, about like maybe a little more than 100 feet or so, you all
land! Land, no! 100 feet. Oh, shit, we weren't paying attention!
Stop! Stop the shade track!
Beachfang, are you drunk? Huh? We're going down!
I don't feel so good, guys.
Okay, so...
two bites of rum this morning. Yeah.
All right, so 100 feet.
Thatch challenged me to a drinking contest.
You all see about 100 feet away from you, Sahugin riding sharks. Now, Sahugin are basically like fish people. They have green skin that are somewhat scaly and slimy. They have long tails, webbed feet and hands, and they have like a fish teeth. So I'm going to show you a photo here to give you an idea, but that's what they look like.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. And there's one in front that is leading the charge.
Are they like standing on the sharks?
They're riding it like a horse. Who you like you would.
So fucking cool.
They're about 100 feet out. I'm going to give you guys two rounds of essential combat in order to prep for them in some way, shape, or form, or come up with a plan. So we're going to go ahead and have Ignath, you're going to go first in this situation. So it doesn't seem like anybody else on the ship has noticed besides you four.
I will ask Beach Fang if he can make a sound of Felgolos, and he would know what that sound is, being that he was presumably found with Felgolos.
Okay.
If he could turn towards them and make the sound of Felgolos.
What was Felgolos? Was he a bronze dragon, which is lightning?
Yeah, that was the bronze dragon that you guys faced.
I want to help out with this.
Dude, somebody just learned lightning bolt.
Somebody just fucking does.
Wow. All right. Sweet. I was like, hey, away, guys, let's figure out how to do combat in a podcast. Nope, we're just going to go ahead and bypass this encounter. You go ahead and ask Beach Fang if he can do that.
I think I can. I'll have to figure it out real quick, though.
You got 6 seconds, Beach.
Yeah, so
You got two rounds. Come on, man.
Tall shit together.
Nessun, let's go for you next.
These sharks are apparently swimming pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think hearing that he wants to emulate Felgolos, I definitely want to prepare Lightning Bolt, but kind of ready it.
Okay.
For like post roar, like when he makes the roar. And then also trying to like optimize damage too.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm going to ask for another performance check from you, but I'm going to allow you to roll int instead of charisma on this one.
Yeah.
And I should have done that last session, so I apologize. It should have been int, not charisma, but I'm going to make up for that right now.
That's a 12.
Would you like to use an action point?
Yeah, let's do that.
First action point of the podcast. So action points in this world, we allow either to give yourself advantage on a roll or roll 2d6 and add that to the d20. This is what action points allow.
I'll give you Flash of Genius. You don't have to throw an action point.
No, shit. What's Flash of Genius do again?
So Flash of Genius is an artificer ability.
Mm-hmm.
At 7th level, you've gained the ability to come up with solutions under pressure. When you or another creature you can see within 30 feet of you makes an ability check or a saving throw, you can use your reaction to add your intelligence modifier to the roll. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your intelligence modifier. You regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
Okay, and what is your intelligence modifier?
So my intelligence modifier
-1.
My intelligence modifier is a +4.
+4, so... 12 plus 4 is...
So what were you attempting to do? Because I didn't hear that. I'm so sorry. I mean, I was just preparing a spell and...
In essence, making a performance check to know at the precise time to cast this spell to make it the most effective.
So if that's the case, then I'll start watching Beach Fang's movements.
Okay.
And I'll start watching Anessin, and I'll start a metronome that just... That's helping to perfectly time it.
Can you put the soundtrack from Interstellar on this part?
Interstellar. Yeah,
I was just gonna say metronome starting when Dean said that.
Metronome.
Oh god, damn it!
That should have been your fucking name, dude.
That's a point, dude.
Metronome.
Do I get advantage for that?
Yeah. You should be a gnome who plays music. Like you play drums.
And that's out with my socks. You get advantage on top of his +4.
Okay, here we go. I'm
just here to help out and be a metronome.
Can I change my character?
Oh my gosh.
That's a 9.
So 16 total.
16. Let's go ahead and just so we're sure, let's go ahead and do this action point. We're going to do the 2d6.
2d6, okay.
Dude, we could fuck on some shark people. It's all right, man. Ichnath is ready to kill somebody. He hasn't done it in a couple sessions.
Why don't we just fight them normally and just like fuck them up?
Well, Victorin can't fight. We learned that.
Did you just roll 2 ones?
Oh my
god. Did you just roll 2 ones?
I
roll
my left hand, dude.
18 total. Okay, 18.
Dude, 18, I've been 18, there. Yeah, swap hands. Buy some new dice, do
just
something.
Roll. I only have
like 10 sets of dice over here.
Jeez. Okay, so before Beachfang makes his performance, Victorin, is there anything you'd like to do?
I would like to. Does Beachfang have rope and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I would like to grab one that's loose.
Okay.
And I want to like climb up on one of the masts and prepare to swing out to like out and down to the water surface.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you could kind of like Jack Sparrow it, like, yeah. All right.
If you would let me, I don't know what kind of time would be needed to do so, but if I could create something like spur of the moment using Tinker's tools, something maybe like kind of like a megaphone maybe that would help to amplify the sound.
Give me a crafting check.
What the fuck is that?
I'm sorry, what is a crafting check?
It's just your intelligence plus your proficiency.
So D20 plus
intelligence plus proficiency. Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
So it's 13, but
guys, we could.
I would use Flash of Genius on myself to say, no. That design isn't very good. Definitely redirect this at a better angle, and that'll help amplify the sound a bit better.
Okay. So
I'll
17
add 17
to it. All right. So you make a pretty good megaphone. I will now give, with both of you, Innocence and Orin's, I'm going to give Beachfang advantage on this deception check, and I'm going to count the deception as intimidation, but it's technically deception.
Would it be deception, intimidation, or performance?
It's deception because he's not actually Beachfang. It's not actually a dragon. He's imitating a dragon.
Have these shark people seen dragons?
Ooh, it could be a performance.
I mean, those are all charisma based, so it's really all the same.
Well,
so
I will say Beachfang, because I do have stats for him. He is proficient in one of those. So
it's the one that he's proficient in.
Yeah, it's definitely the one he's proficient in.
Yeah, it's definitely that one.
So
which one is that?
It is definitely.
I'll let you as a group.
All at the same time.
Intimidation.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Intimidation.
Intimidation. What were you saying, Owen? Hold on. Can we go back and isolate Owen's jaws and see what he said?
Can I just lie to him? I shout out, hey, we're a dragon. All right, I'm going to roll for
big dragon over here.
Deception check. Dragon. Nat 20, what's up? They believe it.
Okay.
They
fucking believe He's going to roll performance at advantage.
Is he proficient?
He is.
Triple advantage?
I don't know why he sings all the time for you guys. Of course he would be proficient in performance.
That's why I asked.
But, yeah.
Right. I knew that.
Okay. I did get the perception check that I knew how the wind and the stuff. So I saved that. I wrote that down. Remember this shit. It'll be important one day.
So with advantage, he rolled a 15 and a 16, and he has plus 9 to performance checks.
Do it.
So he got a 25.
Fuck,
25 to.
Is he? Multi-class?
I just rolled up like a basic treant and gave him boat stats with some skills. Beachfang turns, faces the Sahugin, and lets out this incredible dragon's roar that sounds just like Fel'Golos did. Innesin lights off with a lightning bolt that just thunders towards them. What's the distance? 120
It's 100 feet.
100 feet. So by now, because it's like round two, are you aiming it at any of the Sahugin, or are you just trying to scare them?
No, I'm aiming it at the ship.
Okay, shit. So you actually hit, because it's, ooh, let me give her a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, it's a straight line.
Yeah, but they get dexterity saving throws for half damage. The female Sahugin that was on top of her shark, riding it, standing on it, she actually gets hit straight on from the lightning bolt. Can you give me lightning bolt damage?
28 damage.
All right. So casting this particular spell, Anessin, you feel is almost... Oh, ooh, ooh, there's a... Sorry, we forgot one of your other new abilities. Every single time you cast a spell first level or higher, I need you to roll me a d20. So before your lightning bolt goes off, I need you to roll me a d20.
That's a 9.
Okay. Nothing particularly crazy happens, but you feel... this is the first time he's cast a spell. Okay. So, Anessin lets go of the lightning bolt, but the three of you, so Orin, Ignath, Victorin, you all look as he lets off this lightning bolt, and you look towards his hand, and you can see that light... What was your magic casting ability look like again? Can you describe it for the podcasters? Remember, like, when you always, like, cast spells, there would be, like, that aura that would come out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like... His eyes would always kind of like reflect the kind of spell that he was going to cast. So definitely kind of a white light. But then, it would start to emanate from like from his hands.
But it was like that light blue color. You always described it as light blue your arcane energy color. Mm-hmm. And what you all would normally have before, or Victorin, this is your first time. You all notice that it's no longer light blue. He now, whenever he casts a spell, it's that fined mist that the hag would use to cast magic is now what is coming out of him instead of the light blue. And he channels that lightning bolt in Anessin. Roll me a d8.
Wait, what color is it?
The lightning bolt's normal lightning, but the aura, like his magic aura that like the spells come out of is now that fine mist that the hag was coming out of rather than the light blue arcane energy that Anessin had.
There you go. That's a one?
It's a one? Shit. All right.
I don't like that.
It's like super good, right?
Yeah. Kind of.
Shit,
so
good.
You, Anessin, feel your own life force drain from you a little bit as you cast this spell. And you take 1 point of lightning damage.
Oh.
But that over-channels into the spell, and you deal an extra 1 point of damage to the Sahugin priestess that is riding that shark for a total of 29 points of damage, actually straight up killing her.
Oh, my God. Yes, like, what does it look like?
Does that continue on to the rest?
It does continue on, but you have to remember all the other ones were, like, underwater, like, just underneath the surface of the water. She was the only one that was above water. So if you want to like try to like angle it down and hit another one, we can definitely do that. But even at half saves, they all die. So we don't even have to worry about that. So you easily kill like 5 or 6 of these Sahugins as you shoot this lightning bolt down towards them.
The dragon roar and the lightning bolt. Yeah. They all are fucking ripped up.
Yeah. And then
are they still coming after all
one
this?
Second. Oh, I'm going to allow them a wisdom saving throw at disadvantage.
You're wise. Get the fuck out of here. Still want him to come,
dude. And Nessun's going to cast a fireball and kill 40 of them.
So as I rolled a nat 20 on the first roll, this time I rolled fuck, which is natural 1. So we're going to completely bypass this encounter. So the Sahugin, seeing as this lightning bolt hits, and it hits with such intensity, it is like Homelander when he did the I-beams and the boys, and it just people just explode. Yes. So the Sahugin priestess, her shark, all the other Sahugins that got hit just explode into visceral debris as they're like their sinew, their intestines, and like all their blood just goes like everywhere.
Just tuna everywhere.
Just straight chum in the water.
Straight tuna.
And as the Sahugin stop directly in their tracks and they see this boat coming out of it, and you guys have to remember Beach Fang, the mast, you put Felgolos's skull on the front of the ship.
Oh, we remember.
Yeah, as a figurehead.
I remember.
Not the mast, the figurehead. And so it's like you angled it and made it look like it was coming out of it. So they think now it's like this undead, like undead dragon is shooting lightning at them. It's not just a regular fucking ship, as well as like there's a tree for the sails. And so the Suhugan just turn and they don't even like swim away from you guys. They just swim straight down deep into the depths of the ocean.
Victorin, like I'm up on the mast with a vine in my hand ready to swing down. And after seeing all this, I turn to Victorin kind of slack jawed and kind of just... I turned to Anesson.
Victorin looks at himself and goes slack-jawed. God damn, I'm handsome.
Amazing what you can do.
Anesson, bend over and protect my thighs.
So Victorin turns to Anesson just kind of slack-jawed and looks at him like in awe, like, whoa.
Yes. That's what commoners are capable of doing.
And I give you a nod. Like, I definitely give you a big old smile and a nod.
Ah, Anesson once again destroying anyone who comes against us. You will never cease to amaze me, my friend.
Guys, this was such a team effort. We all played a great role in this, and I'm just glad that we were able to continue on. And let's focus our efforts back onto Cork and House Tain and how we will ultimately take down this ring that is enslaving all of these people.
Oh, my, that was quite fun. I haven't done something like that in a millennia, it feels like.
Old friend, we are very appreciative of your great performance there.
Oh, I couldn't have done it without you all.
Well, we are indebted to you, and we appreciate all of your services.
Shall we continue back on our way to Cork, then?
I take my megaphone. Don't worry, everyone. The ship is safe. Everyone relax. Unbuckle your swashes. Crisis averted.
I feel like I'm reeling still over the fact that the last time Anesson destroyed people with a firebolt, I thought it was incredible, and he just blew apart like six. I watched six people explode with a lightning bolt, and I'm fascinated by it. Still, it's like Felgolos herself was here.
Well, there's definitely no greater compliment that could be paid than that, and I appreciate it. And with all of that energy that I expended, I must retire to my quarters for now.
Iknath, are you okay? It looks as though someone has cast stone form right below your waist.
Just as excited as usual. As I turn and then knock over Orin.
I'm full of torques.
Oh my god, that took me a second to realize what you're going for.
You were so confused. Like,
stone form? Oh.
Iknath is hard. But I would like that to be like I turn and just slap Orin.
It's just right across the face. Yeah,
Victorin, with his back to everyone, kind of puffing on his pipe, he suddenly spins around on his heel.
So the plan, if we so choose, to deceive them by offering them a fake Davana. Which of us will be that fake Davana?
The look on my face looking at everyone else but myself is like, obviously it's not me.
That's weird. I'm literally doing the same thing.
Corgi.
Well, Victorin, I believe you have volunteered to play the role of Davana.
I understand.
Are you up to that task?
I will volunteer. I can see the firepower, the bravery, the heroism from all of you. I want to prove myself. If we go in first with Thatch, I will survey the land and come back with useful information. If we return to hand over Davana, I will volunteer to be that fake Davana.
Well then, I guess all we have left to do is get to Cork.
On to Cork?
With a plan all set in motion, you guys decide to spend the next day and a half working on various things, training with some of the crewmates, having some fun, drinking and eating, being merry, and trying to show the slaves that are to get delivered to House Tain a good time while you guys have them. A day and a half passes. You guys go to sleep on the day of Palm, the 25th. In the morning on the 26th, you all wake up and you're about an hour's boat ride away from Cork.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Hammered and Helios, What's a Lion to a Dragon? Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Hammered and Helios, or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HIH podcast. We even have our own subreddit named Hammered and Helios. As well, a special shout out to Marco Ogiero for the absolute banger of our theme song, 20 Ways to Die. Find him on Instagram at TheMarcoAgiro. Our next episode releases on August 2nd, and we review Grass Widow's Peated Curve. That episode will be titled A Father's Disappointment.